Take your Bibles and turn me to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 2. We want to talk today about the birth of Christ, what we celebrate on Christmas. And we want to start in Luke chapter 2, and we'll read the verses as we go through the scripture. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the truth of salvation that has come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the teaching, and thank you for our life that we have in Christ. We are very blessed people if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. All is well with us, and we thank you. We once again pray for each one here today that their Christmas would be good, and that if there is sadness, that you may encourage them. If there is blessings, may they focus on those. Thank you, Lord, for this special time of year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus Christ is God, who became a man. But in the process, he was experienced just a normal birth. Though he is supernatural from God, and he is God, his birth is very normal. And I want to notice first the place of his birth. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." God providentially worked through the situation to bring them to Bethlehem, but this census was a normal thing that the Roman Empire did. Much like our government does every 10 years, takes a census of everyone in America. Well, they did the same thing, primarily for taxing purposes. Caesar is the title, meaning the emperor. Augustus is his name. His ascension marked the beginning of the Roman Empire, and he brought peace and prosperity after a long period of strife and war. His grandmother was Julius Caesar's sister, and after his assassination, learned that he had been adopted by Julius Caesar. When he came onto the scene as emperor, Rome had experienced a lot of war, but through the battles, he brought some peace and prosperity and calmness. And so when Christ came to be born, God had providentially worked through the normal circumstances of life to bring into him a world of general peace, prosperity. The Roman Empire controlled everything and pretty well had controlled all the turmoil and trouble in the world. The language that was common was Koine Greek, from which the New Testament is written in. I've said many times, it's one of the most precise languages. If you could ever learn Greek, it's one of the most precise languages for God to communicate his truth in. So Jesus came in normal time, but God had providentially worked in them. He went to his hometown in verse 3. "And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." They had to go to Bethlehem because that's where he came from. They had to go to their hometown. And that was the prediction of the Old Testament scripture, that Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Matter of fact, the Pharisees quoted it to King Herod in Matthew, that this is where the Savior was to be born. And so God worked through the circumstance to bring them into the town of Bethlehem. It is a small town, not a very large town, but it's a small town. And you notice all through there, they came there to be registered so they could be taxed. Even in Bible times, you can't get away from taxes. They're always there. That's how they fund things. And that's why they went to the town. It was though God worked, but in normal circumstances. When I use the word providence, I mean in life there are normal circumstances. There are doctors who've trained. There are people who've trained and are gifted at their profession. There are many things that go on in life that are just normal circumstances, but behind it, God is working in the normal circumstances to accomplish what you and I won't always see. The doctor who is trained, who provides healing to us, that's a normal circumstance, but it is God who has worked in the midst of it providentially to provide for you in all areas of life. And so God used the circumstance to bring Jesus to Bethlehem. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. This was a supernatural, a God in flesh, but it was a normal birth. Notice how it says it. The days were accomplished, which means the time frame. Generally, 9 months that takes for the baby to come and then to be born. And that's what it means. The days were accomplished. The time frame in which a normal baby would be born, they were accomplished, and she was delivered. The way we deliver babies, that's the way Jesus Christ came into the world. And she brought forth her firstborn son, which means that there were other children born after that. In other words, it was a normal family, a normal life. Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters, and they had children afterwards because Jesus Christ came from heaven, not the real son of Joseph. But he is God in human flesh. But he had half-sisters and half-brothers. And so it was just a normal life. And they wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know what swaddling is. It's, for them, strips of cloth that are wrapped around the baby to keep the baby to feel warm and secure because they've been in the womb. And now to keep them warm and secure and to keep their limbs straight. They do that today. You find people in different ways, may have a sleep sack or something of that nature, but they wrap their children, and they sort of wrap them up because they feel more secure. And most of you ladies probably know about that. It was normal. There was no supernatural swaddling. That was just the normal thing that they did in that time. Jesus Christ, who's God, came normally to us. It was a humble birth, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You may see sometimes that people have the image of a Holiday Inn and that the manager stand out there and say, "No, you cannot come in. You cannot come into our Holiday Inn." That's really not the situation that it was. This probably was a place, because many people were coming to Bethlehem, there was a crowd of people coming, and there was just no room. They had places of lodging for people to stay, and so when they came to this place, because there were so many people, there just wasn't enough room. And the inn is not a Holiday Inn, but a place where they stayed, a shelter, some type of thing. And so because there was no room, they had to put them in the stable. You know, a manger is a feeding trough for animals, and that's where Jesus is laid. We have it out on our display there, a feeding trough for animals. I like this quote. When Jesus came into the world, he was born in the most comfortless conditions, a smelly, filthy, chilly shelter surrounded by noisy animals. God, who became flesh, was born in a small town through normal circumstances. He experienced a normal birth, but it was a humble birth. Unless we were forced to today, most of us would not want to run our child instead of the hospital, say, "Would you mind letting him be born in the stable or in the barn?" I don't think most of us would. But that's where Jesus Christ was born, because Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven and came as low as he could, because he loved us. Second thing I want you to notice is the people who were told in verse 8. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Shepherds are very interesting. In God's biblical image, shepherds are considered wonderful illustrations of the Lord and how he relates to us. Because shepherds had great compassion for their sheep. And they worked 7 days a week providing for them, caring for them, looking out for them. They made sure everything was okay. And sheep had a tendency to know who their shepherd was and to follow them. So in biblical image, shepherds are a great image of the Lord. But in that culture, they were not considered very highly. The Pharisees didn't really like them because they had to work 7 days a week. So oftentimes, even though they may rest on the Sabbath and still take care of the sheep, they didn't follow all the rules the Pharisees had. You know, the Pharisees had 600 rules that constituted not working on the Sabbath. And so if you spit on the ground, the Pharisees considered that plowing, and so you violated the law. And so the Pharisees didn't really like him. But I think it's interesting that the angel came and displayed the glory of the Lord and told about the birth of Christ, not to the religious crowd, but to humble shepherds who were in essence rejected by the religious crowd. Jesus' ministry would not be to the self-righteous, but to those who would come unto him even as sinners. And it's no different today. If you are self-righteous, if you're proud of your goodness, if there is no humility, if there's no humbling on your heart in prayer and submission to God and confession of sin, but if your life is a rather self-sufficient, I'm pretty good, I'm better than the next fella, then you may think you're close to God, but God's not very close to you. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. He came not to the religious crowd, not to the self-righteous, but the angel came and displayed to the shepherds, humble servants who image God, but humble servants rejected by the rest. Wherever a person is, it doesn't matter rich or poor. Some think the rich are bad and some think the poor is good. Neither one is the case. The Bible doesn't view it that way. There's some sorry rich people, there's some sorry poor people. There's some good rich people and there's some good poor people. That isn't the status that's important. What's important is the heart and the humility in the heart. There are many people who have high, lofty status who are fine, gracious Christians of fine character. And there are many people who have low social status who still have fine, godly character. It's not the status. It's not what the Bible is talking about. It was God was not coming to the self-righteous, but to the shepherds who were humble. And their reaction to the whole thing shows you how humble they were. What they were told in verse 10. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Good tidings means good news. You heard any good news lately? Well, the Bible says the angels came and said, "Good news to everyone. The Lord Jesus Christ has come. The Lord Jesus Christ will go to the cross to die for your sins. If you put your faith and trust in him, you'll be forgiven and promised an eternal life. And God will come by the Holy Spirit to live in you and to effect change." Good news to all of you, folks. That's what the angel was saying. I bring you good tidings. And notice what it says. For all people. Everywhere, every place. There was recently someone in an association put up a sign in their place that just said Jesus. It was not just a sign, but it was a decoration. And somebody complained. And so the association in that suburb said you had to take it down. And the person said, "You know what? Just because something offends you doesn't mean the whole world has to move and change just because you were offended." But that's the society we live in. But you know what the good news is? Jesus came for everyone. No matter who it is, Jesus says, "Good news, I come for all." Verse 11 then says, the person. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And you then clothes lying in a manger." The angel said, I want to tell you good news. But it's not just a theology. It's not a religion. It's a person. It's a person. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Christ the Messiah. A Savior who would die for our sins. The Lord, who is the sovereign one above all, has now come. And you will find this child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This person who is the Savior. And you know what happened. You saw it in our live nativity. That's how you know. As all the angels come, and it says, next verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know the appearance. We don't know how many it was, but it says there was a multitude. I don't know how many there are. The Bible says there are myriads of angels in heaven. This is the multitude. Many angels would come because they are at the presence of God's holy, 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 worshiping God day and night. And they come. The shepherds see them in this blinding, glorious light and says, here is the Savior. We come to tell you the good news. And what is that good news? On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The world will interpret that to mean that's just what we want. Peace. Peace with everybody. Peace in the world. And particularly we'll like peace if you'll follow our plan of what we expect to be done. If you don't, there's going to be trouble and turmoil. We want peace. That's not what the verse says. What he means is when he says on earth peace, he's talking about the peace. Because it's in the context of the Savior, he's talking about the peace that Christ will bring. There can be no peace on earth until there first is peace in a human heart. Do you know that when I pray and talk to the Lord, there's peace? Because I've trusted in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all is well. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody believes, I don't care. I know that to be the truth. And there's peace in the heart. And the Holy Spirit comes to bring peace. And only the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back, will bring peace in the earth. But he's not talking about peace because we all agree. In this world, we are never all going to agree. We're not even going to all agree probably in our church. But the truth is, if we've known the Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace because we are right with God. Secondly, he said, goodwill toward men. The world would interpret that to mean, well, be good to everybody. Be nice to everybody. That's not what it means. In the context, it's about a Savior who has come to bring peace in the human heart. And it is also about a Savior who now acts goodwill, which is grace, who acts graciously toward mankind. It's the meaning. In other words, the angel said, listen, the Savior has come to bring peace between you and God, to separate the veil so that you can have a relationship with the everlasting God. And its goodwill, its grace now has been extended towards people and mankind. This is not talking about peace between us. It's not talking about goodwill among us. It's talking about peace from God and goodwill from God to us. If you're going to heaven, it'll simply be because of the goodwill and grace of God that was extended to you and said, I'm willing to forgive you if you trust in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they do? Verse 15. It came to pass the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You know what they did? They went out and said, hallelujah, let's go tell everybody. Let's go tell everybody. If I went to my doctor And the doctor said, you won't believe this, it's just come out, but we have found a miraculous cure for every single disease there is in the world. And all you got to do is take this pill. And I would go home, my wife, and I'd say, shh, don't tell anybody in the church. Don't tell them. Don't tell anybody. They found a cure for every disease in the world, and all you have to do is take a pill, but keep it quiet. Shh. Well, what about brother so-and-so is suffering? What about sister so-and-so? Shh, keep it quiet. Don't tell them. This is just for us. You would do that. You could run to church. Guess what, brother so-and-so? Guess what, sister so-and-so? They found a cure. That's what the shepherds did. Hallelujah. They went and told everybody, there's a cure that's come. God has come in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior to provide salvation for all. And I want you to notice two things in closing. Verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Years ago, I heard a sermon. And it shattered and changed me. And it was from this verse. You know what the sermon was? The sermon was simply this. Why is God going to let you understand the Bible more if you haven't bothered to think about what you've just been taught? Mary pondered. The word pondered means to think about a lot. Why is God going to open up your eyes to see the scripture better if you have ignored what you've been taught and you never think about it? That changed my life. Because it made me realize, Lord, if I want to grow and I want to learn more of the scripture, I've got to start thinking about what I'm reading. I've got to start meditating on what you're telling me. I've got to do it. And I do that. It changed my life. I think about it all the time. My sermons coming up in the year, I've been thinking about them. I lay down at night and I'm just thinking and meditating on them because I want to understand. This verse changed my heart. Mary showed who she was. She thought about them. Great sermon, preacher. Let's go home. I'm never going to think about it again. Why is God going to bring you another good sermon if you don't think about the one you just were taught, or Sunday school, or your reading of scripture? Mary pondered about this. She thought about it. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want to say to all of you, Merry Christmas. I know for some it's been a tough year. I don't know what the future holds. But I tell my church often, if my life is over, when it is over, I'm going to heaven. And all is well. Down here may be some troubles. They're not all the time, but I'm going to heaven. And all is well. And if you know Christ, all is well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we pray for each family. May this be a special time of rejoicing and just talking and enjoying one another. And we thank you for this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What hymn shall we sing as we close? You need to make a decision, come to the altar. You come as we sing.
Please stand, 253.